Welcome to the Magnetic Photographer Podcast. I'm Sky Edmonds, portrait photographer of 19 years, photographer educator of 15 years, and intuitive business and life coach. I help heart-centered photographers expand their income and impact through nervous system regulation, energetics, somatic connection, and business strategy so that they can become the bold, visible face of their brand. Hello and welcome to the Magnetic Photographer Podcast. I'm so very happy that you are here. Today, I wanted to share a quick story, something that happened to me yesterday in Pilates. There seems to be like this reoccurring theme. I told you, a lot of life lessons have happened to me in this past year of reformer Pilates classes. Well, this particular club, when it's time for you to cancel your membership, you have to do so in writing 30 days notice. With our move coming up, I knew it was time. And I think I've already shared that I cried when I put my notice in. Okay, I didn't cry like in the lobby. I went in the car and cried. Thank you very much. I know that if I have something I need to feel, I better feel it or I'm going to be eating it later, meaning eating to shove down the feeling that I'm trying to not feel. So like Shrek used to say, better out than in. Well, yesterday, I don't know. I think my energy was kind of flat. I was trying to muster up the strength for a cardio Pilates class. I love this class. I've actually, the past 2 or 3 months, I've been at this particular Wednesday class because I love the teacher and the class is a lot of fun. I've been having some issues with electrolytes, mainly potassium. My potassium has been low. So that's like muscle fatigue, just all around, bleh, especially when it comes to physical activity. It's very frustrating. I'm trying to get things balanced and also trying to figure out where I'm suddenly having this, you know, imbalance come up almost daily, because it used to only come up when I would fast or be very, very low carb. And I only intermittent fast now, and I am not low carb at this time. Every now and then, if I get inflamed, I may have a day or two of carnivore, and that's completely body led. I feel like I would identify as an intuitive eater these days. So yeah. I've shared with this teacher about my upcoming move, and she's been excited for me. But yesterday, she was like ultra energy, I guess. And then, you know me, with my kind of flat energy, we weren't a mesh. But I was sitting on the reformer waiting for class to start, and she was like, "Are you so excited?" I'm like, "Me? Yeah, about what?" She was like, "You're moving." It's like, I just had this reaction like, lady, do you know how hard moving is? This move thus far has just been more fire starter for the inner growth that God seems to love to put in my path, which I'm grateful for in hindsight. But I probably made a face and I'm like, you know, moving is hard. There's a duality to it. It's happy and sad and hard work. And she's like, "Oh, I know. I thought all your family." And I'm like, "Yeah, we have family here, but you know, we're leaving friendships behind. We're leaving our house of 10 years, 15 years here. You know, I've lived here, and there are things that I'm grieving as I'm saying goodbye. Stupid things. I said goodbye to a palm tree the other day. Like, I used to hate you. And now I'm sad. I used to hate palm trees. I'm like, ugh." And then we went through like this hurricane like storm, and I was like, "You're resilient." And so they've been like this symbol of resilience. And then I probably said goodbye to the oak tree, and this gorgeous oak tree. I mean, it's massive in our front yard. And then the hummingbird we've named Verde. See where I'm going? I am a very sentimental person. And then somehow I came up, I was like, and then we have a stepson that we're leaving behind. And then I lost a stepson. So saying goodbye to the place where I knew him. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, she's very sweet, very polite. And then I did it, you guys. I did it. I made the scrunch face. And tears came into my eyes. I didn't cry, but I showed some very real emotion. I felt that emotion and I let myself feel it. Right there with her. And she was very uncomfortable with it. In fact, she was sitting next to the reformer next to me and she shot up and was like, oh, let me find some things to do. I mean, it was, bless her. I can't say bless her heart. I forgot. That's a Southern insult. It was borderline on odd, like an odd response. Now here's where the grace comes in. I'm giving her lots of grace and lots of room. Her reaction is her reaction. It is not a reflection of me. I don't know her relationship to emotion, to loss, to grief. And I always need to be careful on the expectations that I have on how people respond to me, to what I say, to what I do, and to what I feel. I almost felt like I was a giant water balloon and I had sprung some leaks. And then there was that old tendency to want to like, oh, gather myself. Oh no, plug the holes. Oh no, I don't want to make a mess. But yesterday I just sat in it and just let it be. I wasn't crying, but I wasn't going to swallow it down. I wasn't going to be polite with my sadness. I wasn't going to abandon myself in that moment to make her feel better. Because it's not my job to make her or anyone else feel better. It's my job to make me feel better, and that's it. I had compassion for her. Obviously, I think she had a bigger, like, emotional response than I did. I could tell she was, like, almost needing me to change the subject or lighten things up. And I did sort of, but still I sat in it long enough where I felt the release. Okay, go ahead. And I explained to her, I said, I think a lot of people hype things up in their lives, whether it's reaching a goal or their goal weight or even things like a move, and they romanticize it so much. And when they get there and there's a aspect that is hard or unexpected, it can really be devastating. Kind of like, you know, referring back to what I talked about in last week's episode, actually, it's the week before, the creativity blocker about comparison, about Elizabeth Gilbert's reference to shit sandwiches. No matter what you do in life, even if it's something you're most passionate about, something you were born to do, there's still a quote unquote shit sandwich. There's something, really like that part. I'm certainly not talking about being pessimistic or trying not to feel joy or excitement about our move in order to protect myself. If I feel joy or excitement, I'm going to feel it. But I'm trying to also realize that I'm already experiencing grief. I know when I get to our new place, it's going to be there too. It's like that movie, that Disney movie, Inside Out. Everyone was giving sadness a hard time, but she enhanced the experience. She was part of the experience. And resisting it, resisting that truth makes it more powerful, more loud. Our feelings and our bodies, they will get louder and get louder and get louder, and they will scream at us by way of autoimmune issues, by way of chronic pain, by the way of diseases, until we listen. And I was so disconnected from my body and from my feelings. I wanted nothing to do with it. I just kept eating and eating and eating and eating and eating and spending and spending and spending and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. I didn't have the skills or the capacity to deal with it. And now that I do, I'm not going to give up the ground that I fought so hard to have. Okay, so she flutters off and it's time for the class to start. And immediately the mind starts in its drama. Your mind, your ego, it has stories to tell. It wants to make meaning of what just happened. Oh, she did that because of this. Oh, I bet this is why she was like this. And I kind of almost stood outside my mind to observe the shit show that was going on. Careful not to identify with any of the thoughts that were going on. Remember, identifying with a thought is like, oh, I like this jacket. I'm going to put it on, wear it, and snuggle with it. Becomes almost part of your identity. And I could feel shame kind of breathing down my neck. And it was odd because I didn't feel shame, but I knew if I allowed and identified some of these thoughts, that feeling would soon follow. And shame is one of the most insidious feelings. Shame is not, I did something bad. It's, I am something bad. Ugh. Well, I had to keep on checking in with my body. Body is where the feelings are housed. It's so tempting to check out of the body and go into the mind and try to figure it out, try to find a reason, try to find a meaning. That's where all your old programming and bullshit live. That's the madhouse. The body is where I speak to God. The body is where my intuition is. What is my body saying? Just feel it. I felt sad. And then if I felt kind of like funky, like what's going on? But I didn't take on that funkiness. I didn't make it about me. My therapist once shared, it's like a street sky. You have your house, your side of the street, and whomever's giving you an issue, they're on the other side of the street. And sometimes you'll find them in the street with a push broom, sweeping their BS over onto your property. You have to remember, you have your own push broom, or even better, a leaf blower. And you can blow that shit right back where it belongs. And again, I'm using an example. I'm not trying to ascribe anything dark or what have you about her reaction. Again, I don't know her story. That was her very real, vulnerable self, I'm sure. And I give her room to experience that. So I sat with the feelings that came up, cleared some thoughts that I knew that I just did not want to identify with. And it seems like such a small thing, but it was such an invitation from my past, the trauma that is still in my body that I haven't processed or released yet, that was like, you need to hide. You need to hide your real self. Don't be real. Don't show who you are. People are going to respond like that. Hide, hide, hide. Go in your car and fucking cry. Nobody wants to see it here. I will cry where I damn well please. So the situation really has been an opportunity for me to continue to see and reflect on what I truly believe right now compared to even 6 months ago. You can read all the books, you can listen to all the podcasts, but when it comes down to it, are you doing the work? That's what matters, the embodiment of it. It's not just this head knowledge that you have. You know, sometimes when I'm coaching people, people are like, oh, I know that. Oh, I know that. Okay. Then show me, does your life reflect that knowledge? Why are you here asking me for help with this if you know it? It's a conscious knowing. But again, that conscious part of our minds is the 5%. What I really want to help you with is that 95%. all that old programming. When you get triggered or activated, it says, hide, hide, hide. Gather yourself in. Don't let them see. Go fucking cry in your car. Be polite with your sadness. Be polite with your emotions. I'm an advocate for the middle ground. There is a, you know, an opposite side of that where people are just walking around wailing, and there's something to that as well. I have a few people in my timeline where the damsel loves her distress. And I understand, in my own way, I was addicted to stress. I was addicted to chaos. I was addicted to that hit of rejection. Oh, I'm not getting enough rejection here. I'm not getting that hit like I used to as a child. That's where I learned it. I learned to become addicted to it. So I'm going to go and do this and get that rejection. I'm going to go pester my husband and cause a fight and see what happens. And then when he reacts and his reaction's his reaction, and I get to walk away and be like, oh, see, nobody loves me. Comes down to asking yourself, what story do I get to continue to tell because of this continued circumstance? This thing that keeps on showing up in my life that I say I don't want or I don't like. This thing that keeps showing up in my life, even though I say I don't like it, I don't want it. What story do I get to continue to tell because of it? Because until you have that answer to that question, you're going to subconsciously, we are getting something out of it. Anyways, I thought I would share this story. I don't know if you could get anything from it, but this is the place for me to share. All in all, I'm walking away from this story empowered, knowing I have the capability and capacity to sit with myself in the discomfort. I just did a podcast episode on this. I talked about how I look for situations where I can lean into the discomfort so I can become familiar with it, so I can grow in that area. Not like, oh, give me more discomfort, but just like, I'm going to transmute this shit. I'm going to alchemize this shit. Yesterday was more of that playing out. And I felt I was ready for it because I've been doing this work. And all of this is so interconnected. It absolutely impacts me as an entrepreneur. You can't take all of your junk that's operating in your personal and romantic life and just clean it up and put it in a box for your business life. It's all there, enmeshed. I would love to hear what this may have brought up for you. I always welcome your DMs on Instagram. And I hope you have a wonderful week. Thank you for joining me on the Magnetic Photographer Podcast.